Breakfast puppies?
This podcast contains adult language and content and is meant for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
We're all set to begin, so let's dive right in to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your cars. But mostly it's about dive bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
I am Poppy Beaujolais, and this is 2020. Hey, Xander, what are we drinking?
So this is not the beer I was looking for, nor the liquor I wanted to put into it, but it is it is based off of a Polish winter drink. In which you take, I believe my ex-girlfriend's exact words were cheap ash Polish lager. And then you go and put a shot of what's called a Wisznówka in it, which they don't sell in the States.
Do they sell cheap Polish lager ass?
Yes.
Yeah. Some of that. That lager ass.
And so Wisznówka is basically Everclear that you go and steep sour cherries in for a long time.
Oh. And it's wonderful.
This is really tasty.
The Schnufa is actually really great. So instead, in lieu of that, I found some nice Portland brewed micro lager from Occidental Brewing. Mm-hmm. And I put cherry herring in it instead, even though it's not nearly as strong as what the Schnufa is. But it has the nice flavor.
Now,
and you basically go and heat the beer until it's almost at a boil. And then you put shots in it.
Now, why are we specifically drinking a winter themed beverage?
Because Poppy said she wanted to drink something that would warm her cold, cold heart.
Oh God. That checks out.
I think there's a little bit more to this story, however. Jacob?
Well, it is winter here in the Pacific Northwest, and we are going to be talking about riding and storing for the winter. It comes the time of year, usually about last month in December, when people decide it's either time to take their ride off the road or to lean in and be all they can be.
Now, real quick. What do you define as ride in this context?
Well, I'm talking anything, whether you're on a motorcycle, scooter, bicycle, if you're out there on the road this time here.
What about Segways?
Segways?
Yeah.
That was a bad segue.
Well, let me just put it to you this way. Those are not considered road vehicles, and technically you're not even supposed to be in a bike lane on them.
Well, speaking of Segways, you're listening to Bikers, Dice, and Bars here in Portland, Oregon. As usual, I am NPC.
I'm just Jacob.
Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
And I am Poppy Beaujolais.
And we're, like I said, we're talking about winter. Yo.
Now, this is a little bit of a follow-up,
zoom and enhance.
Last year, when we talked about winter riding, or we talked about rain riding specifically, but we didn't go deeper into winterizing and more of snow, ice, etc., and that kind of thing, if I remember correctly.
Correct.
Excellent. Correct. This is a good companion episode.
Yeah, and we're going to be going about more than rain. Like, what do you do? What do you do if you run into ice and things like that? So
be really scared.
Be really scared. But
now, listener, I do want to make a technical note. We have completely changed our entire layout of microphones here at the studio. This may or may not sound awful. I apologize if it does, but if you have any audio notes, please email me at npcbreakfastpuppies.com.
They've got both Jacob and I on very strong microphones, and it's challenging.
Yes, yes, yes.
I like them. It feels like I'm giving Kylo Ren a lecture.
That did not go where I thought that was going to go. I can't write fan faction about that, but anyway.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Now I'm shipping Dr. Xander Gerrymander and Kylo Ren in my head.
Watch that.
Oh, my God. Wait. Okay, what would Xander's lightsaber be? What would the Dr. Gerrymander lightsaber, what would it be?
It would just be the most, like, muddled, random, jiggity-lined, just completely like, what is that? It's just a Gerrymander lightsaber. Shut the fuck up.
So it's like someone made a lightsaber out of one of those Etch-a-Sketch games?
Yeah, 100%.
He tries to turn it on. He's got to hit it twice.
No, but the handle is just a cocktail shaker.
Nice. Got a little jigger down there.
Yeah.
I approve. I want one.
We need fan art.
He's got extra little lightsabers on the side that look like swizzle sticks.
Yes, please. Someone draw this.
I ship that.
It's December. It's getting cold. You've decided you're just going to put the ride away for the year. First thing you got to figure out is, where are you going to put it? Great way to ruin a ride in this town is to just throw it on the back deck if it's a bicycle.
Yeah, don't do that.
That's a good way to get it stolen, too. Or leave it on the curb uncovered if it's anything else. Also a good way to get it stolen, and a great way to find out exactly how fast rust will bloom under chrome in this town. That said, though, you don't always have a lot of options. The best, of course, is a relatively dry garage. But if you don't have that, a shed.
What if I live in an apartment?
A lean-to. If you're going to be storing a motorcycle, a scooter, a bicycle, and you don't have space for it, first of all, you can be like a lot of proud members of Rockers Northwest that have a motorcycle centerpiece in their living room during the winter months.
Quick question. What is Rockers Northwest?
Rockers Northwest is an affiliation of like-minded motorcycle individuals who are not formally organized in any other fashion other than the fact they like old bikes and tacos on Tuesday.
Do they have a website?
They do not, but you can. They do have a Facebook group.
Well, I will be sure to link to that.
Yeah. However, just so you know, you have to get referred in by someone who's already in.
I will be sure to not link to that.
Thank you. Anyways, at that point, you might want to look about just spending the money and renting a storage unit for the winter months. Oftentimes, you can get a 6-month deal on a storage unit to put your bike away. See if you have a friend with a garage that'll let you store it. However, if worse comes to worse, you know, there are options.
As someone recently who in the last couple of years had considered getting a storage unit for a motorcycle, make sure you specifically look for a vehicle accessible storage unit.
Exactly.
Because not all of them
ground
are these days.
Floor.
Yes.
Not even ground floor, because oftentimes they're behind a hallway that you can't fit a motorcycle through.
Right.
Jacob, let's say I can't do any of these things and it has to sit on the sidewalk in the winter months. Is my best bet just to get a cover and then a lock on it? Is that the best thing I can do?
So if you're going to do a curb, if you're going to have to store on a curb, and that's the only option you have, first of all, be aware of the parking rules in your municipality.
That's actually a really good call, because they're like, I think in certain neighborhoods, at least in Portland, you cannot keep a vehicle in the same spot for more than a couple of days.
Right. Definitely use a wheel lock of some kind.
Good call.
I usually recommend using one that has some sort of rope or something that goes up and has a fob that goes in your ignition to remind you to remove the lock before you try to ride away.
This sounds like spoken from experience.
I watched a guy damaged the hell out of his bike by trying to ride off with a U-lock still installed.
I have a wheel lock for that I carry around for my scooter, and it's a bicycle lock. It's a U-lock bicycle lock, and I have thus far remembered it every time.
But so if you're going to do that, get as deep or as tall a cover as you can for your ride. Because you can get covers that are basically designed for you're riding around, it's just rolled up and either on your pillion or in your storage case or whatever. You get there and it just covers the top half of the bike, and it's mostly meant to keep your handlebars, your console, and your seat dry. What you're looking for is one that'll go down and cover pretty much the entirety of your bike, will belt under your bike. The deep ones, Guardian makes a great one. Includes a belt that you pull through, and it's got a D-ring connector, and you pull it tight so it's not going to blow over. That's your best bet under those circumstances. Just make sure you lock it. Make sure you have a real good rain cover. It's even better to just go a little bit extra, because you know, throw a plastic bag over your instrument console. But the reality is there's going to be so much atmospheric water, you are going to have water on parts. It's going to happen. But, you know, we don't have choices always.
And just out of curiosity, how bad is that going to be for your bike just to have some, like, water sitting in certain parts of it for, like, I don't know, a couple months at a time?
It all depends on the bike. And it all depends on the type of engine and a whole bunch of other factors. If you have a nice Honda 454, you will have rust bloom by spring.
Jesus.
Potentially even on your heads.
So what about if somebody was, oh, say, in a drier climate?
Mm-hmm.
Other things to worry about? Still moisture, still a problem? What are the differences in for listeners who are not in the Pacific Northwest?
So it depends on what you mean by drier climate.
Drier, but fuck cold.
Colorado. When you get into that, Northern Colorado. Well, you know, with Northern Colorado, cold becomes your enemy. And at that point, you have to be concerned about making sure your rubber is shielded from the wind. I know a couple people in certain parts of Arizona, Colorado, et cetera, who put cardboard boxes underneath their cover to protect their wheels from wind blow. Nowadays, that's considered unnecessary with modern tire composites, but back in the day, it was a point of concern. However, if you're in a dry, windy climate, making sure that your bike is parked not immediately parallel to the prevailing wind, so it eventually gets pushed over by the wind, is a good idea.
Well, and also if you're parking on the street, you want to, if you have a big snowstorm, you're going to want to move that bike in for when the plows come by.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, it will be gone.
Oh, yeah.
So I've never had a vehicle in which I didn't ride it all year round, but I've also heard things about, like, gasoline shouldn't sit for too long. Is that a concern that we have for motorcycles and scooters if you're going to be hanging it out in the winter for a while?
With motorcycles and scooters, you want to definitely... So there used to be, there's a difference between where we are now with modern fuel technology and modern tank technology from where we used to be as late as the 1980s. You used to hear that you have to drain your tank completely. You have to do all of that sort of thing. Nowadays, don't drain your tank. Make sure your tank is mostly full.
Oh, okay.
Make sure you've put a fuel stabilizer in it.
Now, does this same advice apply to both, say, a 1978 Honda and, say, a 2020 Suzuki?
So, given both mechanics and all other sources I consulted on this, the general consensus is nowadays, because gas is less prone to separating than it used to, you are better off with a full tank of gas with stabilizer than an empty tank with stabilizer. While I always recommend talking to your mechanic about the specifics of your motorcycle, as a general rule of thumb, a full tank of gas and stabilizer is the way to go for all bikes and scooters.
And so where does one go and get stabilizer? Just at like a mechanic shop or like a...
Cycle gear.
Anywhere. You can get it at AutoZone.
AutoZone, yeah.
Any place like that.
I mean, if you're going to go to an auto shop, call ahead because you will run into issues like not all O'Reilly's carry all motorcycle fluids. So it's worth checking out to save yourself a trip, but otherwise it's cool.
Are the stabilizers like vehicle specific or is it just kind of a general catch-all?
They are vehicle specific in that the stabilizers for... motorcycles and scooters are for motorcycles and scooters only. Mm-hmm. However, any stabilizer for motorcycles and scooters will work for motorcycles and scooters. Don't be the doofus who grabs your marine small engine stabilizer and you puts that into your motorcycle.
Mr. Jacob, what kind of stabilizer do I need for my 1972 Schwinn Continental?
Funny you should mention that. There is stabilizer for bicycles. Whether or not you're going to be riding your bicycle through the winter, it's highly recommended that you get a winter overhaul anyways.
Which is, what's a winter overhaul, Jacob?
So a winter overhaul, well, it's you take it to your mechanic. They tighten up all your lines. They run cleaning fluid through your brake cable conduits. They change out your brake pads if need be. It's a bicycle tune-up. They check your spokes, all of that.
Now, what if you're just planning to store the bike for the winter?
Well, here's the great thing. If you have them do the winter tune-up, and then put the bike in storage right away, whenever that warm day comes that you finally decide, I'm going to ride today, you can just pull it out of storage and ride right away.
And not just that, but most bike shops will do winter tune-ups cheaper than spring and summer tune-ups.
Exactly.
Because they need the money during the winter times.
No, I can definitely go and attest that wintertime is the best time to go and get your scooter tuned up by your mechanic, because they are just so desperate for you to walk in there and just do anything for them.
As a small aside, getting into bicycles and bicycle maintenance, whether it's for storage or for riding, there is a growing body of evidence that bicycle maintenance is a leading contributing factor to accidents for bicyclists during the winter.
Mm.
To the extent that Gresham and several other municipalities in our area are now offering low to no cost winter clinics for bike maintenance in order to help people have properly maintained bicycles going into winter.
Well, speaking of 2020, you know what I'm going to predict is going to be the leading cause of accidents to bicyclists?
Hindsight?
Oh, it's the fact that Oregon just went and decriminalized not stopping at stop signs for bicyclists.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Wait.
That's going to kill people. Mm-hmm. That's going to fucking kill people.
Wait. What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our state legislature, in their infinite wisdom, has decided that stop signs are no longer stop signs for bicyclists, and they are now rolling stop signs.
Yep.
Well, okay, I have opinions here because there are studies that show that rolling stop signs for bicycles can end up in some places, Idaho, California, for example, creating safer bicycle zones. Eventually. Usually when the law is passed, there's that conflict between motorists and cyclists who just don't quite communicate very well with each other.
I think it's going to get people killed, but so, this is Oregon.
Small tangent on that, and we'll pull back to winterization. Interestingly enough, in areas, there is a small body of evidence because it's not effectively researched, so it's still considered not statistically significant yet, but there's a small body of research that shows that areas that allow bicyclists to roll through do experience lower accidents over time, but only with paired with the reduction of stop signs in the area overall.
Which I'd be fine with.
Does it apply to red lights?
I think it does.
I would hope not, because that would be a shitty one to apply a rolling stop to.
I feel like it specifically said stop signs, but I'm not sure. Citation needed.
Citation needed.
Which is also a great podcast.
Oh.
That's our next one.
Needed. If you're looking to sponsor a podcast.
Yeah,
wait, Noah. Is that an actual podcast?
Yeah, Noah, Eli, shit. Heath, throw a dog bone here, man. We love you.
I was going to say that would be a great podcast where you just ramble on about bullshit and fact check nothing and just say what's on your mind and then be like, yeah, citation needed.
Oh, they do better.
No.
Wait, isn't that already Fox News?
Anyways, back to winterization. So let's say you do have a place to store your bike. Whether it's a friend's garage, whether it's a shed, whatever. If you're on a scooter or motorcycle, one of the first things you got to think about is, does your motorcycle or scooter have a center stand?
Mm.
Yes.
And if so, use the goddamn center stand. Mm. Chalk your wheels.
Use your center stand?
No. It's hard.
That for a reason.
You know, I'm not gonna bag on anybody who doesn't use their center stand during riding season and when they're riding regularly. But when you're storing your bike, there's a lot of good reasons to not, especially for scooters. Scooters use mechanical springs more than hydraulic springs a lot of the time, and over time, the compression of the spring does lead to loss of elasticity and will slowly wear the spring out faster. So use your center stand. The other thing is, no matter how new or old your motorcycle is, do yourself a favor and throw a piece of cardboard under the engine, because motorcycles and scooters leak oil. Mm-hmm. You'll never know when it'll happen, but you don't want to be the person with a rental unit that you just lost your entire security deposit because the landlord saw a 4-inch square spot of oil and dinged you your entire security deposit for it.
What?
And if your bike is measured in inches, put 2 down.
Yes. I mean, let's be real. Harleys mark their territory.
Fair enough. In my defense, I have no issue with using my center stand to store it. Mm-hmm. I started out using my center stand because that's what I was told to do. And every goddamn time I was taking the thing up, off and on the center stand, I felt like I was going to drop it.
You know, and like I said, during riding season, that's between you and your maker on what you do with that. But yeah. During storage season, get a friend, you know. However, flip side of the cardboard under your engine. Don't listen to the old wives' tale about cardboard under your tires. Back in the day, before modern tire composites, there was a lot of concern about flat patching and concrete wear and alkaline nature of cement eating through tires and stuff. And that was true in the 70s. It died out early 80s. Modern tire composites, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to put cardboard under your tires. You should not overinflate your tires. So,
and what's the reason for that?
Well, just because putting extra air in your tires above and beyond your ordinary ride time is just not good for them overall. You want to maintain as close to the pressure they should have at all times. I mean, otherwise you're stressing the rubber and it does malform and makes it more flexible in ways you don't want your tire to be more flexible. Think about it. If it's a balloon and you inflate a balloon and then let all the air out, it has a certain amount of stretch that is left in the balloon. However, if you inflate the balloon beyond the point where you've been inflating it time after time, you'll notice there's so much extra flop in it. And while it's very minor in a motorcycle, it does cut down on the lifespan of the tire. There are arguments.
Don't flop your tires.
Yeah. There are arguments on whether the difference is days, weeks, years, you know, but generally speaking, there's no need to. The myth is just that nowadays, just a myth.
Well, and also physics.
Yep.
If you put, as the same with any vehicle, don't put air in your tires on a cold day.
Yep.
So, Jacob, what if I want to be go into fucking beast mode and just weather out and just dive right into the misery that is the Pacific Northwest winter and ride the entire time?
Well, I'd say, first of all, make sure you know what you want to do. But before you do that, help your friend out with these three last helpful winterization trips for storage. If you are storing your bike on the curb, pull the battery. If your bike or scooters, your batteries do not like living in super wet, moist conditions.
Well, I guess
constantly.
That makes sense.
If you're going to be even in a parking overhang or something, you can leave it in, but put it on a trickle charger.
Also, if you pull the battery, good luck to anyone who tries to steal it.
Yes. But if you're leaving the battery on the bike, invest in a trickle charger. Keep the battery good. It maintains the lifespan of a battery. A battery that entirely, especially modern gels, that entirely go dead and then have to be charged back up, it does lower their lifespan. Mm.
So let's say I have very mediocre mechanical skills. Can I do that myself?
Yes. For most of the time, the answer is yes. On some motorcycles, getting a battery out can be a little bit of a chore. And so it make and model matters in this case. In most cases, if you can get the seat off, you can usually get the battery out with a screwdriver and a wrench.
That's not so bad.
That's not so bad. You can also, most people can actually install their own trickle chargers as well.
What's a trickle charger?
A trickle charger is something that automatically senses the charge level of your battery and keeps it topped up at its proper voltage.
Something that NPC and I have been meaning to do for a few weeks now.
Yeah, we have a pair in our garage that we need to connect. I am fortunate, and I think you are too, Poppy, in that our vehicles have an attached cable hanging out from under the saddle that you can just plug that trickle charger right into.
Yep. And that those little cables also allow you to run auxiliary electronics off your motorcycle battery.
Nice. Oh,
I had no idea.
Like my MP3 player that I'm rocking out to when I'm on the road, it actually runs right off of my battery.
I had no idea. I could run heated things off that?
Like, yes.
Fuck yeah.
In fact, like, I have an acquaintance who
NPC's
has...
face is so excited right now, he's literally biting his fingers.
So we're going to get into riding in the winter. First of all, heated gear. We've talked about this in the rain episode before. You know, many people have different opinions on heated gear. But nowadays, you can get heated gear for scooters. You can get heated gear for motorcycles. You can get heated gear for bicycles.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yep, yep, yep.
Like fucking battery powered or some shit?
Yep.
Sweet.
USB rechargeable heated vests.
What?
Electric socks.
I can plug in my socks?
Yes.
Electric socks is the name of my Electric Six cover band.
Yes.
Electric
heated gloves.
Ooh.
Wait, and these are all rechargeable things.
Yep.
Is this what the future looks like?
My boss has a pair of USB heated slippers. It's amazing.
What?
Wait,
hold on. Where does one procure these magical fucking rechargeable heated goddamn things?
Amazon.
What if I hate Jeff Bezos?
Then you look on Amazon for the brand and walk into your friendly neighborhood brick and mortar store. Universal Cycles here is the one I'd recommend because they are bending into the electric heated gear a little bit.
And I'm pretty sure you can probably get a lot of it at Bike Gallery.
Yeah. But if you walk in and say, hey, I want to make a special order, can you order me this? A lot of places will do that.
And I can have rechargeable fucking slippers? Is this how this works?
Well, you'll have to get those someplace else, but yes.
All right, I'm looking this up right now. Slippers.
I didn't know I wanted this, and now I don't know how I can live without this.
And that's for bicycles. But for motorcycles, they heated pants, heated socks, heated vests, heated jacket liners, heated gloves. And the same connector that your battery tender uses will connect with many of these units.
Well, my scooter does have a USB out on it.
You know, the standard USB won't run enough voltage to make it run. You need to pull directly from the battery, which is why you need the, a trickle charger. I cannot for the life of me remember the connector type, but it's an SAE connector. So,
was that going to take some extra work?
It'll cost you $15 tops.
That's not bad.
Or if you have a little friend who likes you a lot, such as yours truly, I got two spares in my tool bag.
Hold on. You like me?
I like you.
Oh, buddy.
Oh.
Despite that snidely whiplash mustache of yours.
No, that's Dick Dastardly.
Yes. Oh, fuck.
And Muttley.
But, right. But that gets
hold
to
on,
the...
Hold on.
Yes!
There we go.
Yes! God damn it, that's good. Oh, it's so good.
It hurts so much.
But it's so good.
But that gets to the first topic of, should you decide that you're going to ride all year long? First of all, welcome to the club. I'm an all-weather rider. I ride all year round. It's the way I roll.
I, too, am going to go and ride all year round again. I did my bicycle last year. I'm doing my scooter this year.
Sander, I noticed that you rode your scooter today.
Jacob. Sure did.
I did not ride my motorcycle.
Jacob.
I was on mass transit today for health reasons.
Okay.
But the first important thing is if you're going into winter, as winter rolls in, whether you're winterizing your bike and putting it up for the year, or you're going to ride all year long, change your oil, check your tires.
Word.
Don't be rolling into winter in the Pacific Northwest or anywhere else for that matter on old bald rubber.
I remember talking to my mechanic at Vespa Portland. Shout out to Vespa Portland. You guys are awesome.
Vespa Portland, if you're looking to sponsor a podcast, please let us know.
And, you know, they're like, yeah, you can skip up, you know, a couple hundred miles or whatever on an annual check-in. The only thing you should never, never skimp out on with your scooter is brakes and tires.
Right.
And I will say, too, when it gets extra slippery out there, like wintertime, kids, get good tires. I talked to him because I had a flat tire the other day, and he's like, well, first off, you need a new tire because no mechanic is ever going to go and refill that tube.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Secondly, like, we have two grades. We have, like, decent and outstanding. Just please get the nice tire. Like, just please get the nice tire.
And one thing for scooter riders, definitely check with your mechanic whether or not you need different tires in the winter rather than the summer. Most, unless you're a jigsaw rider who's rolling around all summer in track tires, in which case you need a different set of tires for the winter, motorcycles, generally the same set of tires that work in the summer work in the winter. Some scooters need special tires in the winter, especially Vespas that are of a more metropolitan bent and aren't meant to see winter weather. You sometimes need a second set of tires. Check with your mechanic to be sure. This is a suggestion, not a mandate.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But definitely check your, get your tires checked, change your oil, because you need clean oil going into winter, whether you're storing it or whether you're riding. You want the, your engine is going to be sucking more water in it via, it doesn't matter whether you're air cooled, liquid cooled, whatever. Engines breathe. No matter how good your filter is, some water's getting in there. Some extra dirt's getting in there. Depending where you're riding, road salt might be getting in there. You want to keep your engine as clean as possible. And one of the biggest tools to doing that is clean oil. Get your oil changed. Also, check your brakes.
Brakes are so nice.
Brakes are so nice. But we were talking about, you know, heated gear. And if you catch our old winter riding, our rain riding thing, we were talking about the importance of comfort with riding. If you're not riding at your best and are not at some level of comfortable, you're going to be riding impaired. You're not going to be as eye on the road, you're going to be too busy shivering, your reactions are going to be jacked up. It's not going to be a good scene.
And on that note, dear listeners, the last 2 weeks ago, I was riding and I was so goddamn cold that I was shivering and I was like visibly like not in good shape. I would get off my ride to work or to home and it took me forever to warm up because I was just so, so cold. And I'm like, I need better winter gear because I am going to ride all through the winter. And so I went to Andy and Bax, our local military surplus store. Uh-huh. I went and I found a pair of dorky ass fucking, pullover waterproof pants.
Yep.
It makes me look like a goober.
Uh-huh.
And it keeps my legs warm and dry.
Yep. totally checks out.
These were like $25. And again, 100% waterproof. They're like high waisted. They're so dorky.
Amazing. Yep.
And outstanding. And as soon as I put these things on, even when it's not raining, when it's just windy, it just cuts off on the windshield. It's great.
Another component along the same lines, go to like a bicycle store or an REI and get this wonderful device called a neck gaiter.
Yes. Oh, yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
It is basically a topless balaclava that you just pull down over your head, goes around your neck. You can pull it up over your chin and your mouth, and it prevents that cold air from blowing up into your helmet and freezing your face.
As soon as NPC said that, I pulled out mine.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This was one of the nicest Christmas gifts I've ever been given by somebody because, again, I was wearing a scarf.
Oh, you got a Black Star one. Yes, someone does love you.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, I mean, it really is nice. I was wearing a scarf most of this winter so far, and it was kind of nice, but still had that cool winter air just getting all up in my business, and I did not appreciate it. And then on Christmas Day, as I was working my double at my job as bartending for all you lovely folks out there, my friend, Dick Barber, comes in, like lifetime family friend. He comes in with two gifts for me. And one of them is this fucking neck guard thing, which was an instant game changer. And the other one was like, it was like a bandana with a Velcro strap on the back that like goes around your face and around your nose.
Yep.
Oh, nice.
And it was really cold that day. So I'm like, all right, I'll try these things out. Rode home that day.
Isn't it so much nicer?
I felt a million and a half times better. It was insane. I don't understand how I've never heard of these things before, why I never had them before. It literally changed right in the wintertime for me. Like that.
If you can protect your neck, it does so much to help.
And it goes around. Yeah. It just tucks on. Okay. It tucks underneath your jacket and everything. Straps. Oh, it's just fucking outstanding. And then the biggest thing that was killing me is I had these nice leather gloves, but they were not great in the winter, as I found out, especially that since I've been doing more freeway driving on my scooter. And so I would just get off, my hands just like Jacob described, like having to pull them off the handlebars during one of our last episodes. And so I went and I finally was like, all right, I'm going to buy nice, not heated, but nice winter gloves. So I got these double-lined scorpion gloves, which are, I will say, these are really nice gloves. They got like the hard knuckles and everything too, which is extra nice. They are stiff at first. Everyone at Vespa Portland said just take some time to break them in, and they're taking some time to break in. But now that they are breaking in, they are super nice, and I can actually go in, you know, 30 something degree temperatures going 60, 70 miles an hour and actually still have relatively warm hands by the time I get to my destination.
I also back in the day got something very similar to that, but over time I really grew to dislike the gloves because they started to get really sweaty. So
I can see that when it gets warm.
Another option to supplement that, which is I got these mounted handguard windshields on my motorcycle. Oh,
I've seen those.
And they're just these clear plexiglass things that sit in front of the bars, and they block the wind from blowing up my sleeves. It's wonderful.
For the dirt bike riders out there, it's the same as the brush guards that are designed to protect your hand.
Yeah.
They're positioned a little bit differently, less to protect your arms from brush and more to hit the head-on wind. And this is one where people's tolerance of different things is way different. I have a heavy pair of winter gloves I use for short distances. But when it sucks out, I actually prefer to be wearing and my normal pair of three-season riding gloves with a pair of over mitts, which are this unlined, super waterproof, no fucks given waterproof mitten that is sold by a company called Aerostitch. And water is not going in there, and it retains heat like nobody's business.
Does it have the blade?
It has the blade. Nice.
Listeners, the blade is one of the most important things you can get for your basically anytime riding, but especially when you're going to be winter riding. The blade is a nice little rubber strip on the index finger of your motorcycle gloves that acts as a fucking windshield wiper that you can go and go.
It is a lifesaver.
You need one of those.
You need a pair of gloves with these if you're going to ride in the rain. Otherwise, your helmet's going to get fucked. And everyone should have these. They're phenomenal. The Scorpion gloves I got, that's my only complaint about them, is that their rubber strip, at least thus far, is decent.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it'll break in to the point where they're good. I'm not sure yet, but again, they still work. They still wipe the fucking raindrops out of my visor, so they're awesome.
I've had three sets of gloves that have had the blade. Of those three, one of them had one long continuous blade, and two of them had segmented blades that kind of fall at the hand. Those were the worst.
Those seem terrible.
Because they leak and you can't get a solid streak.
That sounds streaky.
The single blade was, it took a little bit more to get used to, but once I figured out how to just shove that fucker on there and just pull it across, it was way better than the segmented blades.
Yeah, no, for sure.
The blade, now we're talking about helmets. And helmets is a good thing to think about during the winter. Not everybody can afford to have more than one helmet.
They're pricey.
But helmets are prone to fogging during the winter. You may have to figure out how to crack your helmet. You might have been lucky enough to buy one with a pin lock or one of the Icon Armadas that has the lock pin in it that will crack it just this fraction of an inch and keep it there to allow enough airflow to not fog.
If your helmet does not have a removable visor, you paid too much for a shitty helmet.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. You know, unless you're riding on certain specialized helmets that are fixed position visors, which, I mean, yes, at that point you have a visor that can stop a 45 caliber slug, but you're not going to be happy in the winter. So, and bubble domes went out in the 70s, man. I don't care what the hipsters say.
So I actually went, thanks to some relatives who gave me some scooter accessory money for Christmas. I went and I bought what has so far been the nicest scooter jacket I've ever had so far. I was wearing it when I came in. You may not have noticed because it's fucking stylish as shit.
Oh, is it that one?
Yeah.
Oh, it's very nice.
This jacket by Scorpion is like some fucking crazy ass technology, wax coated fucking insane triple weave thing that they have said unabashedly, unequivocally, this is not water resistant. This is fucking waterproof.
Nice.
The nice thing about this jacket too is it's actually super warm as well, and it is not dorky looking. So I looked at it, you know, back in the fall, and I was like, yeah, I'll get that one day. I guess maybe I don't have the money for it. But again, thanks to relatives who give me the money for it. I was like, when I first put it on, I'm like, this actually looks like a nice jacket just to wear out. Like the armor on it is actually pretty well hidden into the way that it's designed.
I don't see any retro reflective strips on that, my friend.
Hold that thought and we'll come to that next.
Okay.
And it has a really high neck. Like it actually buttons up to the top of your chin.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, nice, nice.
Which again, looks classy and also is nice for warmth. It has some super deep pockets inside. And when I walk into like, you know, a bar or a restaurant after I get off my bike, I'm like, I look good.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta change my jacket.
So you wear a black jacket with a black helmet on a black scooter at night in Portland.
The boy's a time bomb.
It's true.
Yep.
So, gang.
I mean, it's a nice looking jacket, but I see black.
Gang, what is the color of most of my motorcycle gear?
Not black.
Black. No, seriously.
Really?
Black. I have one jacket, my winter jacket, which is screaming silver with a bunch of retro reflective
on it. That's the only one I've seen.
Mm. Yeah, but like my riding mesh for the summer is a black mesh. My fall jacket's black. My chaps are black. My rain pants are black.
But your bike isn't black.
My bike isn't black, but guess what? My electric blue isn't that much more distinguishable than black.
I got a bunch of white paint on my black bike.
So here's the thing. Is it
retro reflective paint?
No, but it does say death is not the end on one of those sides.
Hey, well, you know, at least you're approaching it with full gusto.
Are you an organ donor?
I sure am.
Not only God. Is he an organ donor, he's an organ donor.
Oregonian organ donor.
Oregonian organ donor.
Words.
You don't want my liver. You don't want my lungs. I'm sorry, people. I'm not worth it.
But here's the thing. Yeah, I don't want your liver. I know where it's been. Jesus. Jesus, nor your kidneys, for God's sake. And yeah. Your entire bile system. Oof.
Nope.
That's
nope.
Toxic.
And I have a dark, dark heart. It's not going to be good for anybody.
Anyways, in the winter, here in the Pacific Northwest and in most of the rest of the country, it tends to be darker. Here in the Pacific Northwest, we have a lot more time where it's overcast. You have rain. You have road grit getting all over your lights on your bike. You're getting all over on the headlights of other cars, which cut down their ability to penetrate. Visibility is a factor. I am not telling you what to do. All I am going to say is that people who can't see you can't stop for you, and then you are road pizza. Maybe you want to decide you're the person who adds extra retroreflective to your bike or ups the LEDs to be perfectly honest, it's been shown time and time again, brighter lights on a bike trump retroreflective gear. So replacing it out with high-end LEDs rather than bulbs usually is a better way to go.
And that's a thing you want to go to your mechanic for, or can you do it at home?
Depends on the bike. Go to your mechanic, generally.
Xander, don't you have that, like, crazy LED harness thing? Because that's rad. I want one of those for when I ride my motorcycle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do have that. Oh, yeah. So there's a... I wish I could remember the name of the company off the top of my head. I actually bought it for jogging and then mm-hmm. use it for bicycling. But they have these cool... they look like construction worker, like safety harness that wraps around your shoulders and your waist. And they have these crazy fucking LED lights that can either do a solid pattern, multiple patterns, multiple different colors. I think they were like $65-$70. I bought them from the Portland jogging store, running store, wherever the fuck it was on Grand. Yeah, they're like $70, and they run on like AA or AAA batteries that last for a really long time.
Yep.
And they are obnoxiously bright.
Yep.
Like, they are, like, if I've ever hit running this thing, that person is, like, out of their goddamn gourd, because it's so obnoxious. Like, right. I'm a running rave in this thing. Yes.
Nice. I think obnoxiously bright is another way of saying obnoxiously alive.
Yes.
It sure is.
Yep.
That's
Oh, go right ahead.
So that's why I have a day glow vest.
Yes.
That I'm in the summer during the day because I am a tiny woman on a tiny scooter and it's mostly black, you know, even though I have a white helmet. It's not very bright. So I don't care about looking like a goober. I will wear my day glow vest day or night all year round.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, Jacob, different states have different laws on this, but you can add more lights to a scooter or motorcycle.
You can, and you can add different styles of lights, such as nowadays it's possible to get what's called flicker lights for like brake lights, especially like when you put on your brake lights. Normally all that happens is your brake light gets brighter.
Bright red, yeah.
But you can also make it flicker. Mm-hmm. You check with your local state laws. Anytime you start to play around with the lights on your motorcycle, check with your state laws. Every state's got their own stupid little rules on how far off the center line lights have to be and whether or not you can use LEDs or whatever.
And even if you cannot legally get flicker lights on your bike, I wholeheartedly recommend adapting your braking style so that you pump the brakes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to like squeeze and squeeze, but a tap, tap, tap. And then a break, if you're just driving around town. Mm-hmm. I have been doing that for years. Yep. I feel that it has kept me alive.
again, blinking lights will always get people's attention more than just a sudden brightness of a light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially if it's not a regular solid blinking pattern. Because if there's variation to it, it's more obvious.
Mm-hmm. A nice thing you can do, too, is just have a friend go and, you know, stand behind your bike while it's on a center stand or something like that when you have it turned on and just actually, like, go and, like, tap your brakes a little bit and kind of see what it looks like. And then they can record it for you, mm-hmm. show you. That'd be a good way just to kind of get an idea of what kind of a good idea that is to go and just to get the pattern down.
And it's really important to do that because how your brake light responds to your hand control versus your foot control.
Wear your gloves while you do this.
Can be very different. For instance, on my motorcycle, I have about a centimeter of safety margin on my hand grip where I can be holding it at about a centimeter in and it's not really engaging the brake, but the light has come on. However, I take up any slack on my foot brake and my light is on. So if I want to communicate with the car behind me, I do all my fluttering with my hand. I don't do anything with my foot. However, that was 180 degrees the opposite when I was riding my Honda Magna. I had plenty of play and could do foot flutters with my foot brake and communicate that way. But I looked at my brake lever and suddenly it was this screaming on.
So I believe in the state of Oregon, you can have a maximum of 3 headlights on a 2-wheeled vehicle, I believe is the law.
Yes, with some certain circumstances. So here's where it is. You can have a maximum of 3 headlights on a 2-wheeled vehicle. Plus if the vehicle carries an off-road tag. So some of my dual sport brothers and sisters out there with their with their street legal trail bikes or their dual sport bikes, can roll an additional set of auxiliary lamps as well.
That's
but there's
fucking awesome.
Rules on where they have to be pointed. They have to cast towards the ground. That one I found out originally when I was looking at Can-Am Spyders, because the first Can-Am Spyders had 5 headlights technically.
Whoa. So if I have a bike that just has, you know, a headlight, how hard or easy is it to go and tack on a couple more of those bad boys?
You know, it really depends. It depends on the bike. Generally speaking, cruisers and standard motorcycles, it's relatively easy. When you get into sport bikes, it gets a lot more complicated. You know, have a knowledgeable friend talk you through it. to be perfectly honest, in preparing for this conversation, I was talking with a friend who said, "Hey, could you help me and help me come on over and help me put on the second headlight I got for my motorcycle?" And I went, "Sure, we can do that. What sort of bike is it?" "Oh, it's a Ducati." "You're going to the dealer and getting it done. Have a nice day."
Yeah, cruisers and standards typically have standard equipment that you can buy at almost any online motorcycle store. When it comes to sport bikes, they have those custom fairings and you know, the plastic all around them. It depends upon the model, like a Ninja. You can get hundreds of aftermarket Ninja parts to replace it. A Ducati, you're going to the dealership.
And the other thing is anytime you start dealing with lights, you start dealing with electrical systems.
Right, and that's kind of
and
the thing,
too. And that's where things can get kind of dicey really fast. And you can get yourself in a situation where suddenly you can't even ride your bike over to the dealer to have them sorted out.
And if you don't have that plug that we were talking about earlier, that's going to require you running a cabling underneath the chassis of your machine all the way down to your battery. Uh-huh. And that's a whole lot more work than just adding a headlight.
Yep.
So I guess the other question I have about adding extra lights is, is that going to require a bigger, better, badder battery?
It all depends what you're doing. You know, it all depends on the electrical system of your motorcycle. I was working on a 1980s vintage motorcycle with a friend where in order to put modern LEDs, we weren't adding extra lights. All we were doing was putting modern LEDs in place of the old bulb setup, required putting a brand new wiring harness on the motorcycle.
Holy shit.
And the moment the word modifying the wiring harness comes up in any project, get a mechanic or get your friend who's that weird dude who sits in his garage swearing at motorcycles all the time.
Or just get a new bike. You're going to have less investment on that.
Don't listen to him. Love your love.
I had a follow-up question about cold weather riding gear. Mm-hmm. Whether that is motorcycles or bicycles, rain gear.
Or scooters.
Anything on two wheels. Rain gear and cold weather riding gear can get real expensive real fast.
Yep.
So I wanted to ask some thoughts, suggestions, opinions on kind of lower cost options and where safety is involved, especially with motorcycles. Uh-huh. Because anytime you're talking about motorcycle gear, you need to be aware of what is this material going to do when you hit the pavement going 50 miles an hour? And is it going to melt or is it going to tear off of you? Uh-huh. So are there lower cost options that are viable, or should we stay away from things like, oh, snowboarding pants and things like that?
Steer away from snowboarding pants, period. Okay. First of all, they just don't work well for motorcycling, scooting.
Great for wind.
I mean, part of the thing, and even like I have a couple friends who have thought that they could get by riding all winter using bicycle waterproof pants on motorcycles. The membrane is not designed to repel water droplets that have 60 miles an hour of headwind behind them.
Exactly.
And the same problem is there with snowboarding pants, yeah, and the like. You know, I'm not going to tell you, like, Bikers Dyson Bar's official position is all the gear all the time. Mm-hmm. And if you need to do the simple modification to get yourself through in the winter, go to Cycle Gear and grab yourself a set of frog togs. They're a slip-over, cheap, waterproof option. It's going to feel like you're wearing a trash bag, but they will go
over your gear. It's going to look like you're wearing a trash bag.
You know, when I'm riding in the winter nowadays, I'm rocking an Icon Stormfront jacket. It's fully armored. It's waterproof as hell. It's so hot most of the time that I'm riding around in the winter with it vented, but it's fully armored. You know what? That set me back quite a pretty penny, and I saved up most of a year to get that, mm-hmm, thing. I have friends who wear their summer weight riding gear. Maybe they throw on a pair of long underwear underneath it and then throw on a pair of frog togs or one of the other cheaper riding options. And so they're wearing their armor under their waterproof layer. And in fact, it usually works better because it's easier to dry.
And if you are not planning on riding 365, but you simply want to be prepared in case you need to ride or you get that wild bug up your ass to go for a ride when it's 5 degrees outside or 30 below or whatever, it doesn't really matter what it looks like. You don't need to save up for a whole year to buy a jacket that you're going to wear once a year. Frog togs. Get them.
Yep. And they work all year long. I mean, that's one of those things. We're in the Pacific Northwest. Most of us are throughout the country who live in colder climes that have real winters understand the principle of layering. Mm-hmm. Same thing applies to your motorcycle wear. Have your outer layer be the waterproof one, your inner layer the armored one, and then your inner layer the warm one.
I've been doing the same thing lately with this nice new jacket that I got. But the jacket, I mean, so it's basically, I have an undershirt, I have my, you know, button-up shirt like I always do in my vest because I'm a fancy motherfucker. And then over that, I throw a thermal.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that thermal with the motorcycle jacket that I just got that's heavily armored and waterproof, I mean, I finally have gear now since I've been trying to like piecemeal it together. That between all that stuff and the dorky waterproof pullovers, like I remember getting to work for the first time on a blisteringly, like just fucking pouring ass day, raining so hard. And I got to work and I was like, my hands are dry. My hands are warm. My chest is warm. My legs are warm. This is really nice.
And really for any kind of wintertime activity, if you need cheap base layer, man, the bargain basement in Next Adventure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Next Adventure, if you're looking to sponsor a podcast, just walk right through the upper floor. Don't even look at the full price
stuff.
Pass all the bougie shit. Go right down the stairs and go into that bargain basement,
you
man.
You know you belong downstairs. Yep. It's okay. That's There's no shame.
You get your thermals, get your base layers. Man, you can get anything there.
And folks, it's right after Christmas when we're recording this. If you go into the stores, you'll actually find a lot of winter base layers are actually marked down at the moment.
Because it's no longer winter season, according to stores, because stores are stupid.
Well, we have to start working on our beach bodies now, don't you know?
Yeah. We got
to
prepare for Valentine's Day.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah. President's Day.
So.
How did you know?
Always the same weekend.
We've talked about what you need to do to your bike when you ride. We've talked about what you need to wear when you ride. Well, let's talk a little bit about how you ride. During the winter, you have to keep your head on a swivel even more so than the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Realize that other drivers cannot see you as well as they used to, and they tend to care about you even less.
Mm. I mean, again, it's a mixture of just being, you know, dark as fuck, in addition to the fact that make it get like in Portland, the sun doesn't come up now until like 7:45 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And like by 4:30, it's dark. That's not a lot of daylight time. That's like if you work, you know, even a day job, like you could be getting to work when it's dark and getting off work when it's dark.
For instance,
you bartend, it's just dark.
It's just dark. For instance, I work downtown Portland and I live practically in Hillsboro. When I'm riding in the morning, I'll get some daylight towards the end of my ride, but I am going down 26 with all of the grime wash that has turned it into a sand field. It has been at or below 40 several mornings going through the 26 curves. Know your route. Winter is not the time to be going out and trying your first time on a route you're not familiar with. Stick to what you know. Stick to what you're comfortable with. Don't override your abilities. Keep it smart. Keep it safe. Practice braking. You know, and whenever possible, give yourself extra time to get where you're going.
That's a big one right there, the extra time thing, because you don't know, especially if you have a job or an appointment you have to make. Again, okay, you're there early. Who gives a shit? You're there late. You fucked up.
Right.
But another question I have, Jacob. Let's say, like what happened a couple years ago when, you know, the infamously terrible weather forecasting here in the Pacific Northwest says, snow not until 8 p.m. And then, cool, I'll bike to work. I'll bike back before 5. It'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
1 o'clock in the afternoon rolls around. And it says, just kidding, by 4, there'll be 2 or 3 inches.
Yes.
What do we do?
So, you know how Poppy was talking earlier about how she has a bike lock that she carries around for her scooter? Look, I'm not proud of this, but I grew up in Minnesota, and I have ridden through a couple snowstorms before.
Mm.
How
is that?
It's a point of pride. And it's a point of stupidity. It is both scary and exhilarating. Everything I said about visibility goes in spades. But what you need to do is if you get caught out and it's snowing, because drivers in the Pacific Northwest especially, and no matter where you are in winter, the moment it starts snowing, people lose their goddamn minds and forget how to drive. Park your bike, lock your bike, strip everything of value off of it that you can, and catch a goddamn bus or an Uber.
All right, so you heard it here, folks. Just don't fucking do it.
Or call your buddy that has a brand new all-wheel drive vehicle.
Mm-hmm. For instance.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Uh-huh.
That said, you know, we've talked about winterization. We've talked about winter riding here. If you have any future questions, feel free to reach out to us here at Bikers Dice and Bars. If we don't know the answer, we will connect you with people who do. I consulted with a lot of sources and a couple of dear mechanics, Chris over at CycleTune and the boys over at Vicious Cycles. both in preparation for this episode. Four good articles are going to be posted in it, including seven myths of what not to do in the winter. And yeah, we're going to be putting it out. Folks, thank you and be careful.
This is the last call for alcohol this evening. Drink up, drink up, drink up, and order again. This is the last call for alcohol, get going. Drink up, drink up, drink up, then order again.
So what did we think of this weird hot beer cherry liqueur concoction that's not exactly what I meant to bring, but it's what I was able to bring? What did we think of that?
Why did you only make so little?
I put four fucking beers in here and like 6 ounces of fucking cherry herring liqueur, man.
That's an afternoon for me.
Jacob, I think, has actually already tried before what I was trying to make.
Yes, I have. And it was a much stronger version.
Way stronger.
Way stronger. I will say that I would like to try your version again when my taste buds are more intact. Heard. I'm overcoming a cold, and so I'm not exactly sure whether I was getting... whether the taste was absolutely as abhorrent as I thought, or whether I was just my ability to not taste umami was coming into play.
I didn't hate it.
You ever had like piping hot beer before?
No, I can't say as I had, but I didn't hate it. I would have liked more cherry flavor.
That's fair. Again, what was supposed to go in here was supposed to be stronger and more cherry.
Sure. Yeah, I would have liked more cherry, but yeah, I didn't hate it. I kind of liked it. Yeah.
Would have been better with an IPA.
Get the fuck out of your goddamn dirty fucking mouth. I love IPAs and you're a dirty man for saying that.
Get out of this house.
You're happy that you're just goddamn lucky there's nothing I want to throw near me that's within arm's reach because I fucking would right now.
I enjoyed it and I thank you for making this for us this evening.
Yeah, thank you. It was a nice warming beverage for a cold winter's night.
Hey man, leave it to the pools. They got it done.
Yeah, I was really thinking we'd have a different drink this evening, but I'll keep wraps on that. I think that's coming in February.
It is coming in February.
We got a couple of special things coming up. We're gonna do maybe I'll wait. It'll be a surprise. Yeah.
Tease them. You tease them, baby.
We got a couple of special guests coming up. We got a couple of special tastings coming up.
Oh yes, we will be tasting in February a full flight of flavors.
Well, I'm gonna like to try to kill all y'all at the end of the month.
It's all in the name that you'll understand later when it actually happens.
Yeah. And then you'll it's like the durian fruit of the alcohol world. That's what I am told.
I've never tried it before.
I really want us to come up with a list of all the things that people have said about this beverage so that we can read them off as we imbibe it.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that later. Oh, in the end of the month.
It's going to be a really awful new year.
But if you want to keep tabs on this and maybe entice a little bit more information out of us, join us on Discord. Or send us an email. Send us an email and we will read it on the air. I don't think we've gotten any emails yet because we kind of live in the age where people have moved past email. But still, it's a quaint form of communication that I encourage.
And if you'd like to help pick up our tab, you can support us on Patreon. Even $1 a month will get you access to all of our subscriber-only content. Subscribers, what do we call them?
Yeah.
Patrons.
And you get that wonderful, loving feeling of having helped us get drunk.
Don't we have a new patron?
Do we?
Yeah.
We do.
We do.
You posted it the other day.
Oh, I did. That's right. I sort of forgot like everything about anything during the holidays.
Is there something we just list off all of our patrons?
Well, maybe we'll do that next episode. Yeah. Because, well, we'd have to pull them together. But our most recent one, her name's Beth.
Oh, is that okay?
Thanks, Beth.
Hey,
Beth.
She's a returning listener.
Oh,
she had been listening to our podcast and came back specifically for our Tales from the Loop.
Oh, how nice.
That's outstanding.
Yeah, she reached out to me and could not. Beth's apparently a lifelong Oregonian, and the fact that Klamath Falls would have a communist mayor is apparently more than she can stand.
Oh, dear.
Beth, You're welcome. That was all the doctor over here.
The doctor is in.
Sane.
Well, thanks for listening to yet one more episode from Bikers, Dice, and Bars. We are approaching finishing up, I guess. Finishing up our second year.
Yep.
Yeah, and March will be going to year three.
March will begin year three.
We should do something stupid and special for that.
Yeah. Some kind of a liquid that will make us hate life will be our celebratory drink.
Oh, well. I have ideas for this, actually. What I think we should all do is give ourselves like a $4 or $5 limit, go to the store, buy like the most god-awful fucking thing we can find at the corner store, and bring it in for an on-the-air taste testing.
I think that's going to be happening plenty strong in February.
No, that's going to be a different thing. That's different.
Actually, we should team up because my birthday is in March.
Oh, God.
Oh, wait.
And GameStorm is in March.
Uh-huh. What we could do is we could each have a night where we bring in and share the first drink we ever had. Because mine was Old English 500. So I will definitely bring.
I thought it's Old English 800
or 800. I don't know.
Did you only have 500? That sounds terrible.
Cheap peppermint schnapps it is.
Right. Yeah, strawberry daiquiris. For me. Well, okay. It's actually a funny and not legal story, but I can tell it now.
That's a funny and not legal story.
We've actually told these stories before.
Yes, sure we have.
Way back in the day. Mm-hmm. But it would be nice to have episodes where we partake of these as a group.
Yeah, I'll make y'all some strawberry daiquiris.
Anyway, thanks again for listening. Join us online and stay tuned for more here on Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Recorded in Portland, Oregon. I'm NPC.
I'm just Jacob.
Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
Poppy Beaujolais.
And as usual,
keep it shiny side up.
Always tip your bartender.
Don't forget to roll those critical hits.
And please always drink responsibly.
Thanks for joining us, friends. We've reached the end of Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
Talking bicycles.